Got good news. Some people got on the internet. I'm believing that all of them got on the internet. And some people live streaming already got healed at the beginning of the worship service. Isn't that exciting? See, when we took authority and we all prayed together, that corporate anointing really has great power. So this anointing is so strong right now. It's so thick that you could feel the presence of God in a very, very real way, like a saturation, almost like you're wearing a blanket. And I'm excited about what God's doing in this series called How to Get Your Healing. And Pastor Joshua ministered last week on part one, and today we're going to do part two of five, and this one is called Your Salvation Includes Healing. You know, if I go to buy something and I want to get one item, and they say, well, you can get that same item and it includes a whole bunch of other stuff as a package, wouldn't you think that's a bonus? Wow, would you go for that? I know I would, because you're going to be getting more than what you expected, right? Well, when people come to the Lord and they say, I want to get saved, I want eternal life, and then God says, yes, I have bonuses with the package. You know, what are all the things that go with that package? We have healing. We have divine health to maintain it afterwards. We have prosperity. Instead of broken hearts, he restores them. He renews our mind. And he also reconciles relationships. And he fixes everything in our life. And he protects us. And we're going to learn about all the other things in our package. I mean, that is such an exciting thing, isn't it? And so those are a few, and we'll learn a couple more in a minute. So health was, is, and always will be God's will for you, because it's our divine birthright. And when you have a birthright, it is something that is yours because you inherited it, because it was given to you, and nobody can take it away from you. Nothing can stand in your way. Isn't that exciting? And God and Jesus, they never change. They are always the same. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will always give us what he promises. God is not a liar. So when you ask for healing, even if you don't get the manifestation right then, you know his word is true. But the devil wants to try to make us doubt and unbelief and make us think that it's not true, and we can walk away from the blessing that's already there for us. It's not God walking away, right? So we're not going to be tricked, right? God and Jesus as our healer, we find that throughout the whole Bible. And since healing is part of our salvation package, we receive that when we were born again. So not just anybody can have that package deal, all right? It's for those that have been engrafted into the family of God. And I love this story. I tell it a lot, and this is a new twist on it. But in, you know, Sunday school, the teacher says, hey, kids, if you want salvation and healing and find all the benefits that God has for you, where would you go? And she's expecting them to say the Bible. And they raise their hands, and little Johnny says, oh, I know. And she says, okay, Johnny, where would you find all of that? Where would you find God? And he says, in my bathroom. And she says, in your bathroom? He says, yes. Just this morning, I heard my dad knocking on the door saying, my God, are you still in there? So I love telling that story because it's just so fun. It reminds us of the innocence of children, and they're so literal. And he wanted to find God, and he really thought that's where he could go find him. Isn't that great? But God can find us anywhere, can't he? In the bathroom or otherwise. Well, he is our Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. And Jesus is all of that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the great I am. And in our Heavenly Father, there is no variableness. Now, what is that? That's a pretty big word, variableness. Okay? It means that he is consistent. He doesn't go up and down. He doesn't have a varied, you know, character. He is who he is. We can depend on him. He's constant. He's stable. He's always there. Isn't that good? That, it, you know, like 911, you can call them day or night. You know someone's going to answer if we don't have a power blackout. But see, with God, there is no power blackout. And we call 119, as Pastora Sarah taught us, 1 John 1:9, right? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And when we call on him, he's there no matter what, even in the bathroom, right? Hallelujah. Everything that God has ever made is good. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And I want you to turn to Revelation 21 with me. And we want to see things in the Word of God and know that we only teach that which is in the Word. So the outlines that we give you, you have your scriptural references that you can go back and check it out, because we want to make sure that you know that what we teach is scripture. Okay? So Revelation 21 verses 1 through 6 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new what? Earth. For the first heaven and the first earth did what? Had passed away. And also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Isn't that going to be cool to live with God? You know, Jesus as our King. And verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Now, when we're reading this, remember, if he wants heaven to be on earth, that means we can now receive what is in heaven while we're on this earth. We don't have to wait for the new earth, because the kingdom of God has been established. So therefore, if there are no tears in heaven, that means he wants us to have joy here on earth now. Okay? So as we read this through, let's look at some more of our benefits in our salvation package. Okay? "There shall be no more death." That's interesting. He says that we don't have to die anymore. "There shall be no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain." That means emotional or physical. "For the former things have passed away." Remember, you cannot advance and move forward in your walk with God if you're driving your car or walking your spiritual walk looking in the rearview mirror. You've got to release the past. You've got to let those things go. We have to forgive and forget. And all the sins that we have committed, when we ask God to forgive us, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Now, we have to put that in the sea of forgetfulness. And then God chooses not to remember it anymore. So when the devil brings back something that you've done in the past and tries to accuse the brethren, he's trying to bring an open door to you, so that the curses can come back into our life if we allow that in. Because when you were forgiven of that sin, if God's not remembering it anymore, if we rehearse it, if we regurgitate it, we're fishing it back out of that sea of forgetfulness. And we're saying to God, "What Jesus did for me on the cross wasn't good enough. It didn't pay the price. The blood of Jesus didn't cover it. And that's sin. That's doubt and unbelief. And if here it says that finally in Revelation there will be no more sea, it means all of our sins have been gone with it. Woo! That means it's already done. Okay? The former things have passed away. Why? Because we are all new creatures in Christ Jesus, right? And so let's go to verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done." He didn't say, "It is kind of sort of done, maybe. I don't know." Does it say that? He said, "It is done. Finished. Completed. Over." So we got to get over it and move on. Hallelujah. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him or her who thirsts." And verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his or her God, and he or she shall be my son and daughter." Whew. That's you. That's me. Isn't that exciting? And if you didn't have a good week, let's hop up and down right now. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Okay. I'm so excited. I don't know if I can get through the rest of this. Okay. And God sent his word and healed them, or us. And Jesus is the living word. Now let's go see exactly what's in our salvation package. We're under point B. Number one. Let's go to John 3:16. Everybody should know that scripture by heart, but let's just go ahead and read it. "For God so loved the world." Did you learn that when you were in Sunday school? "That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Should not perish. And that word perish in Webster's dictionary means you should not be destroyed, part of your package, or nothing that you own. You should not have anything in your life deteriorate. Remember when the Hebrews left Egypt, they were in Exodus in the desert. And for 40 years, can you imagine, the girls came up to mom and said, "Oh my goodness, I'm wearing the same shoes for 40 years. Can I get a new style?" Can you imagine? Their sandals did not wear out. Their clothes did not wear out. Now, someone said to me the other day, "What happened to the kids that were a size 2 foot grew to size 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7 foot?" So not only did it not wear out, it grew. They couldn't get rid of those sandals if they tried. God provides for every need. And you know, when those kids, how many had boys? And you know that when you buy a pair of sneakers, the next month they're too small. And then all of a sudden they're big feet and still little body. Their body hasn't caught up with the feet yet, but you knew that they would shoot up sooner or later because the feet started growing, right? But then when the body starts growing, what happened to the Hebrews' clothes? Did all of a sudden a long skirt become a mini skirt for a kid that grew into a teenager? No! He provided for every need. This is the God we serve. Now, why can't he meet one of your needs that you've been having challenges with? Because we haven't thought out of the box to receive another benefit of our package. Okay? Isn't that cool? What else? Nothing's going to spoil. Okay? Well, it's kind of hard when somebody doesn't eat a lot of fruit and then you have this fruit bowl and then you have 100 degrees outside even though you have air conditioning. And the fruit in the winter will last a week or two in that fruit bowl. Or if it's summer, you got to put it in the refrigerator because the next day it's already like a black peach. You know, oxidation. Our world is being polluted. It is not the Garden of Eden. It is not how heaven should be. It is not how the new earth is going to be, because you probably won't need refrigerators on the new earth. Do you know that there is a farmer who is somewhere in the Midwest, and I read about this, and he actually has a website that he begs people to come get fruit and vegetables from him because he follows the biblical law of what God said to do for planting. He lets the land rest for a year so the minerals could be replenished, and he rotates the crops to another field so that he will always have plenty. And then because he does that, he gets stuff that is like so big, like tomatoes like this. He gets cucumbers like that. He gets potatoes like this. And he says, it doesn't go bad fast enough, so he can't even throw it away. And he doesn't have enough storehouses. So a month later, that stuff is still good and nobody's eating it. In 2015, modern day, with oxidation and with depletion of the ozone layer, because he blessed his crops and he believed that the God of heaven blesses his crops and he does things the way God said to do it. And the nutrition and the vitamins are all there. Because if you eat a banana nowadays, they go in the lab. There's no more potassium in that. Because of greed, they just keep using the same soil and there's no vitamins and minerals left in there. So we're eating a banana. It doesn't even taste like a banana anymore, does it? Except for if you go to organic, because then it was raised without the pesticides. And, you know, they're trying to do things more like nature. So it's more natural, you know. And so we want to always see what are our benefits. So if there are things deteriorating in our lives, we need to go get more of our benefits in the package. If there are things spoiling in our lives, not just food, but stuff that's not going right, we don't have to put up with that. We can go to God and we can say, Lord, I receive the rest of the benefits in my package. And declare the word over our own life. Amen? God says that you should not weaken in your stamina, in your energy. We honestly don't need coffee or caffeine. Because if we would plug in to God, the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we would allow him to be our strength and we wouldn't need anything else. So we need to plug in more to him to get more energy and strength. We need to worship more and spend more time with him because God inhabits the praises of his people, right? And so if he inhabits the praises, his presence is there. And so then that anointing breaks every yoke of bondage in our life, which also means tiredness and weakness. And you shall not be caused to die. It doesn't say here, in John 3:16, it doesn't say that you will not die spiritually. He's also talking about physically. He's going to change our bodies at the rapture in the twinkling of an eye. Does that sound exciting? You know, I want my body to change a little bit more and lose a little bit more weight. So I'm really working on that. But in that twinkling of an eye, he does it all, right? Now, the word apalumi for perish, the Greek means you shall not be destroyed or die again or lose or be marred. Wow. That means everything will be made perfect and whole. Apo, and if we dissect that word, apalomi, means you shall not have separation or departure or cessation. You will have completion or reversal. So So say someone had diabetes. The salvation package of healing brings a reversal of what the devil tried to steal, what bad the devil tried to do. God will turn it around. God is a turnaround God. Olumi means destruction, ruin, death, or punishment. So we don't have to be punished for the sins that we committed, although rightfully so, if we weren't born again, every person who does not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior will stand before the great white throne of judgment and pay for that punishment of the sin. But Jesus took our place so that those that receive him don't have to be punished. That we don't have to be on death row. That he died in our place so that we could have life and life more abundantly. How? Because of his grace. Ephesians 2:8. His grace is sufficient for us. His grace is so great that we could not have been saved without that grace. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and read Ephesians 2:8, which says, "For by grace you and I have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, but it is the what? It's a gift. It's a gift with a package of God. It's a free gift. And through Jesus, every one of us are saved. We believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead and we shall be saved. But I think it's very important that we read that, because if you ever pray with someone to get saved, this is an important passage to know. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Well, we'll back up to 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So what are two things important to get salvation? It has to be in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So if someone doesn't hear the word preach to them, they don't know about Jesus and their salvation and what the package brings, they can't receive it. And that's why God needs each one of you to go out and share the gospel of the good news with somebody in Walmart, in the gas station, on the street, with your family, wherever you are. Let your light so shine, because you are epistles that all men will be reading every day. And that if you confess, verse 9, with your mouth and the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So once they believe in their heart and they say and they confess that Jesus, they believe in their heart that Jesus is the Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, he will be saved, right? And sozo, the word saved here, is the Greek word sozo. It means that when someone believes that God has raised Jesus from the dead, he shall be saved, delivered of every problem, delivered of sin, delivered of eternal damnation. So there's eternal salvation, will be protected by the Almighty God, and Jesus is the head of the armies of the angels of God and powers of heaven. You shall be healed, preserved, be well. That means in your mind and body. Anybody with mental health diagnoses, your mind is the mind of Christ. You have a right for complete healing. It's yours. In your body, any physical ailments or diseases or generational infirmities and challenges passed down, God says that he healed you of all that. You'll also do well in anything that you put your hands to do. and he'll make you whole. So if someone had something removed by surgery, God wants to replace it. He made the first one. He can make the rest. He can make it again, spare parts, right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're in point C. Jesus is the same. He never changes. And I want to go through the story of healing. Let's go to Isaiah 53, 4 through 5, because this was prophesied and it came to pass. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. Surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs. They didn't know it was going to be Jesus, but that's who it's talking about. And carried our sorrows. So anytime that you're depressed or have sadness or sorrows, Jesus took it for you. You can just give it to him. You can cast it onto him. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Why? Because the devil wanted to do that to us as our punishment, and Jesus took it for us on his back. He was wounded for our transgressions, all of our sins, and anything that we did wrong, knowingly or unknowingly. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, those 39 lashings and markings on his back, as we learned from Pastor Sarah and ABC in the Bible school, there are 39 categories of diseases. By his stripes, we are healed. It already prophesied that we are. It didn't say you're gonna be. It was prophesying that what we already are, not what will be, because God had already ordained it. So any new disease that is discovered or is invented by man, you know, germ warfare and all these viruses and stuff, it still goes in those 39 categories. It doesn't matter what new disease will come. You've already been healed of it. Jesus already paid that price, so we don't have to. Isn't that exciting? So then this is the prophecy of the future, saying that we are. And now we're going to go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. And Matthew 8, 16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. People go, there aren't demons. A lot of people in the church don't believe there are demons. And a lot of people in the church don't believe that Christians can be attacked by demons. But the world knows better than some churches. There was one person that died and they had a lot of turmoil in their life. And after they died, at the funeral, they say they fought their demons, but didn't win. They knew. But it says right here. I mean, God doesn't lie. They brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Now, Christians that are born again cannot be demon-possessed because Jesus changed your spirit. But demons can attack your body. You don't think viruses are little demons, little germs infiltrating that body? You don't think cancer is a demon? Because the Bible says that if it's not of God, it's of who? So did God send cancer? It couldn't be of God, therefore it's got to be of the devil, and only demons and evil spirits work for the devil. It must mean that there are demons that attack people's bodies and minds. You ever heard someone say, I killed that person because the devil made me do it? I heard him tell me to do it? Who was talking? Well, there's three voices that we need to pay attention to. Our own voice, the devil's voice, and God's voice. And sometimes the devil pretends to be a good voice with a good thing, but he knows it's going to control you to still do what that demon wants. So can Christians be attacked or influenced by demons? The answer is yes. And he, Jesus, did what? Cast out the spirits with what? A word. The word of God is so powerful that it's cast out by a word and healed all who were sick. Were the people that were healed also healed with the word?
Yes.
That's what we can do as Christians. Our package deal is that we could speak our God's word and it will work for us. And that when demons and the devil look at us, they see Jesus because he's in us. And they don't know the difference if you're speaking his word, if it's Jesus or you. Think about that. So who needs to be scared of who? Are we going to be scared of disease and infirmities and demons? Or are they supposed to be scared of us? Because they know what Jesus will do to them. Right? I heard somebody said the other day, D-Day, when the Allies landed on the beach at Normandy, in all the newspapers, they said, the war is over. But they still had a march from Normandy to Germany. They still had to fight the battles. They still had casualties. They still had to do their part. But the war was won because they knew that they had outnumbered, outmaneuvered, and outsmarted the enemy. Don't get tricked by hearing that because of God's grace that you do nothing now. You see, we have a partnership in our package, that it is a covenant. It is a contract. God did his part by sending Jesus. It's done. It's finished. He made a way for us for the war to be won, that we could go back to the Father. But we have to do our part. If I didn't say with my mouth and believe with my heart, Jesus, forgive me of my sin that I did not receive you. I believe you died on that cross and was raised from the dead, and you are my Lord and Savior. I had to do something. I had to say it. I had to believe it. I had to mean it. Then it was done for me. I received what was done. I had no access to it. And could not gain eternal salvation if Jesus didn't pay the price. But we have to do our part. And daily, you know, there's domestic abuse calls in Christian homes. Did they lose their salvation because they got mad and hit the wife? But it wasn't good, was it? Do you think that was God influencing that husband to hit his wife? No. I'd have to think it's a demon. And afterwards, I'm sure the husband must have felt bad, but he still has to go say, honey, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. He has to go to God and say, God, forgive me of my sin for letting rage get a hold of me. And I did not restrain myself. No matter what my wife did or said, she did not deserve to be hit. And Lord God, please forgive me of my sin. Let's call sin, sin. Because that's not right. But that will block our package of what we also need to receive is healing. Healing emotionally, healing to our relationships, and healing to our body. And so, verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And because he bore your sicknesses and he bore your pain on that tree, you don't have to. Amen? And let's go to 1 Peter 2:24, the completion of that story of healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Once you ask for forgiveness, believe it. Unless you sin again, you don't have to ask again. It was done, but now you receive what was done. You receive the benefits of that. By his stripes, what tense is that? You what? Does it say are healed? Were. When was it a were? After it happened. When? After the cross. At the cross, you were healed. He paid the price in the warfare, meaning that it was done. And all we have to do is receive the benefits in that package now. Isn't that exciting? Acts 10:30 says that he healed them all. It means that God doesn't have favorites. He loves each and every one of us the same. As many as touched Jesus in Mark 6:56, they were healed. And they asked Jesus, would they heal him? And he said, I will, be thou healed. And they shall recover in Mark 16:18. It doesn't say, maybe they'll recover. It said, shall. It's for sure. God's not a liar. How many of you have prayed for healing, have had hands laid on you for healing? Christians who have had oil anointing you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And somebody said, it didn't work. Well, I'll tell you what happened. It would have worked if you didn't say it didn't work. Because what happened was, you had to believe that it was a done deal in order for the benefits to come to you. But then once you said it didn't work, the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy came to steal the word right away. And that person believed it. And because you can only allow the devil to do things in your life and give him permission, you allowed it through speaking the word and canceling the other word when you said, I receive my healing. That person canceled their healing. See, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. If we would know what we could do and not do, then we would see it work. Okay? And when the sick are anointed with oil, according to James 5:14 and 15, it says they will recover. Doesn't mean they might or maybe will recover. And D, salvation says, when the gospel was preached, so you preach the gospel, he was healing all manner of sickness and disease. When he preached the gospel and healed every type of sickness and disease, then when you preach and heal, he spoke to the 12 to go and do the same thing. He preached and healed and told the 70 to go do the same thing. And he's telling us to do the same thing and receive it for our lives so that we could be the testimonies to other people. Amen? And there were none feeble that came out of Egypt when they left to go to the promised land. We will be like he is, according to 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. And Jesus is not sick, never was sick, never will be sick, right? And all things are become new. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that says, therefore, if anyone, are you an anyone? I'm an anyone, is in Christ, he or she is a new what? Creation. And old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when it says that we are a new creation, God has changed us. We have had a metamorphosis. We have been completely changed into something that has never been before. Now we got to act like it. We have all our resources in heaven. We just have to get it. We just have to grab it, receive it, know that it's done. I don't have to keep asking God because it's already done. I just have to thank him and receive it. But I do have to speak the word over myself, and I have to stick the word in the devil's face every time he comes and says, it didn't work. Yes, it did, because the word of God is true, and it says that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what anybody says or the diagnosis says. It says in the word of God, and I believe the report of the Lord, not the report of the doctor. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And when you stick that in the devil's face, pretty soon he's like, I better go bug somebody else. Amen? I mean, I know a lot of people here have wonderful testimonies, but I want to tell some great stuff. I know that Pastor Joshua, the last time he's been to a doctor was 1974. That's a long time ago. I mean, he even told everybody how old he is. We celebrated his 70th birthday. Was it last year? Okay, so that's, what, over 40 years? Boy, how time flies. Seems like last year. Now he's 72. He's even older than what I thought. Gee. But he doesn't look a day over 40. Because he's a renewed creature, a new creature in Christ Jesus, metamorphosized. And then look at Pastor Sarah. She doesn't look a day over 39. And she hasn't been to the doctor for over 34 years. It's not to say they haven't had challenges. But see, instead of taking pills and pharmaceuticals, they take the gospel, the word of God. It is their medicine and health and to their flesh and bones and life to them. Okay? I know that a lot of staff members and the leaders, many of them haven't been to doctors either for 16 years, 20 years. James and I, we haven't been to the doctor for over 10 years now, 10 or 12 years, but we've had challenges. You know, Pastor Joshua had a very big trauma, and he was taking medicines for diagnoses that were very severe. But through the word of God, he has overcome. He has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. He has the manifestation in his body. Pastor Sarah was born with a diagnosis that she could never do some things. She didn't believe that when she became saved, born again in spirit filled. She decided to believe in the word of God instead of what the doctor said. And now she's running. And she went to the finish line. I'm so proud of her. I mean, that's a good model for all of us, for both of Pastors Joshua and Sarah, right? And so they have overcome by the word of God and their testimony. Amen. And the blood of the Lamb. And so before I came to ABC, I was diagnosed with cancer. And they said that I had to have a radical hysterectomy. Radical means that they thought it was severe and they needed to operate immediately, or they didn't think I was going to make it. They had found some masses in my abdomen, and the doctor, I was single at the time, said, well, I want you to understand that you have to sign this paperwork releasing us in case we have to take out a lot of organs. And that's what a hysterectomy, it means cut the woman up. Okay, that's what it means. So I wasn't too thrilled about that. You know, I said, well, I'd like to keep my organs. You know, that's what God put them in there for. And I said, no, I'm not receiving that diagnosis. And he says, you have cancer. And I said, no, I don't. He says, yes, you have cancer. I said, no, I don't. He said, you have cancer. I said, no, I don't. I'm calling your mother. And he dialed my mother. And he said, Mrs. Wong, you have to talk to your daughter because she's in denial. And I'm telling her her tests say that she has cancer, and she's telling me she doesn't. And my mom says, nope, she doesn't. She's been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I said, you're outnumbered. And so I said, listen, okay. He says, I want to have surgery. I said, okay, go ahead and have surgery, because in those days, that's where my faith was. I was in a lot of excruciating pain. I was passing out and fainting, and they wanted to take these masses out of me. And I said, I'll allow you to take those masses out, but you have to remember, I'm speaking what the word of God says, and I need you to line up with me if this is going to be successful. I said, your father's a pastor, I heard. He says, yes. I said, okay, then you need to line up with the Bible. And he says, oh, I get it. Okay, I could do that. And then I did go ahead and have the surgery. And he said to me, well, you know, we're going to have to open you all the way up. And I said, well, whatever. Okay. I believe that God, you know, will give me quick recovery. Remember, this is pre-ABC, before I learned that, you know, I could have had a better way. But God's grace was on me, and I confessed day and night, I have been healed of cancer by the stripes of Jesus. I have been healed of cancer by the stripes of Jesus. I have been healed of cancer by the stripes of Jesus. I will not receive that in my mind. That is a lie of the devil. I'm not giving into it. And so I'm leaving for the hospital. My mom was driving me to the hospital. In those days, you know, we didn't have cell phones or whatever. And the phone rings as I'm closing the door. My mom's in the car and I'm going with my overnight bag. And I hear in my mind, like the Lord say, go answer the phone. Like a thought in my mind. I'm thinking, Mom, I'm going to be late for the hospital. Go answer the phone. I said, well, what if I get in trouble? Go answer the phone. And when I learned that you hear three strong prompts and you think it's from God, don't wait for that fourth one. So I went and answered the phone. It was the doctor's office. And the nurse said, your doctor wants you to come to his office. Do not go and check into the hospital yet. I said, is that allowed? They said, well, if the doctor doesn't show up, you can't have a surgery anyway. So he's the one in charge. Go to his office. I said, oh, that makes sense. Sure. So I'm an instruction follower. It said, go to the, you know, hospital at X time. And it was stuck in my mind. So I said, that is so weird. And then I'm leaving and the phone rings again. And I hear, go answer the phone in my mind. So I, well, this time I just obeyed after the first one, right? I learned my lesson. So I go answer the phone again. And it's my sister, my older sister. And she has a set of twins and another daughter. And the older twin at that time was about 10 or something. Anyway, she said, Mommy, I had a dream. Let me give you a backup on this gal. My niece, when she was 3 years old, we were having a prayer meeting at my sister's house, and a gal brought her daughter to the prayer meeting who was scheduled to have surgery the next day because the doctors diagnosed her with going blind. They were going to try to do some kind of laser surgery that they didn't know would actually work. And so Jennifer woke up and she was sucking her fingers and she was 3 years old. She walks out and she goes, Mommy, somebody here needs healing, a three-year-old. She says, yes, that's right. You know, kids go to bed at 7 o'clock and this is already like eight. And she goes, I have to lay hands on her. So she goes, okay, here's the little girl. She laid hands on her eyes. One of them was wet because she was sucking her fingers, but hey, I don't think she cared. And she laid hands on the girl and she was instantly healed. So my sisters raised her children in the admonition of the Lord. So here's the same niece who's giving a message to her mom to give to me. I had a dream, so tell Auntie Karen that the surgery is going to be a small cut like yours, Mom, not a big cut like the doctor said. And wow, that meant a lot to me. Small sounds better, right? It means not a lot of problems. Well, Carol had C-section, so she had a small incision. But see, that's better than filleting you all the way down, okay? And so I go to the doctor's office, and he says, I haven't slept all night. I've been thinking about your case, and I really am going to change the norm. I know my colleagues and other doctors are going to get so mad at me, but because I'm believing with you, I'm going to give you a small incision first. Then I'm going to have the pathologist come in and test those masses again, even though the pretests say they were cancerous. And then if we need to open you back up, then you'll have two incisions. It'll look like an anchor, one here and one here. I said, who cares at that point? I'll just wear a full bathing suit instead of bikini. Nobody will know if I go to the beach, okay? And he goes, oh, that's optimistic. So I said, I'll go for the first small incision, just like what Jennifer said. So he said, okay. So I went to the surgery and I woke up when they were transferring me from the gurney to the bed. And everybody, you know, my mom and dad, my sister and everybody was there. Oh, Karen, oh, Karen, how are you doing? And they said, do you want anything to drink? I'm like, what's the incision? I said, what? I said, which one is it, small or big? They said, small. I said, thank you, Jesus. So they took out the masses and they were absolutely absolutely astounded they could not find any cancer. But I've learned a better way. And I've learned when I came to ABC that, see, you treat sickness as you would sin. Get it out of your body. Get it out of your life. Kick it out. You know, if there was a dog full of rabies and there was no more rabies medicine and nobody could capture it, and it was trying to come into your house and bite you and your family, would you just let it in? And if it was the size of a teacup chihuahua, what would you do? And it's trying to sneak in your door. Wouldn't you say, get out in the name of Jesus? And then call the animal people and let them try to rescue it or whatever. But you wouldn't let it in your house to hurt you. Meantime, you're waiting for the animal people. Would you? Well, I wouldn't. And that's what we have to do with sickness and disease. Why are we letting it stay in our bodies? We have to kick it out. We have to say with the word of God, go in the name of Jesus. I am not receiving you. That this is part of my salvation package. It is what God has given to me as my birthright. And no one can take this away from me. And so I didn't even have to have the little scar. But I didn't know the rest of my salvation package meant that I would not have to have anything to do with ruining my body. Remember Olimi? Ruining my body. And it says that sozo, believe that God has raised us from the dead, then we shall be saved according to Romans 10:9. We shall be made whole. So whatever they took out of me, I asked God to put back. Right? And so now I don't have to have incisions. And I'm going to ask God to continue to bless me as I look at every challenge and everything that happens in my life as another opportunity to see another miracle of God in my life. Amen. Amen. And then when I went back to the mission field some years later after I was married, then I had a pap exam and it came back positive. And they said, we have found cancer cells in your testing. So now we're going to go and do a procedure and get all the affected area. So we're going to go and do the least invasive procedure. We'll give you a local and your husband can be there. And I asked him, you know, my husband to be there, not just to hold my hand. He was interceding. And we already believed. And we said, in the name of Jesus, we believe that I have been healed of cancer and I'm not going to have any procedures. That this is a lie of the enemy and I'm not receiving it. And I confess my scriptures that my female parts have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My female parts have been healed of cancer by the stripes of Jesus. And we took communion and we confessed the word of God over and over because that became the scalpel. I did not want a doctor's scalpel removing whatever the devil was trying to put on me. I wanted the word of God to do it instead. And during the procedure, the doctors were whispering and they said, are you sure your lab tests were right? Because we can't find any cancer now. Of course, this was a very famous doctor. He's very skilled. And we went to the best of the best. But they're buddies, you know, they all talk to each other. Because, yes, of course my lab tests were right. And I saw the abnormal cells. He goes, well, why can't we find them now? He goes, I don't know. Let's keep digging. And I'm looking at my husband and we're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pretty soon they kept digging. I said, hello, guys. Hello. God has healed me and you're not going to find any. They said, we can't find any. You're right. It is God. This is amazing. You are healed. We've never seen this before. I said, yep, it is God. And afterwards I said, do you want me to pray with you to receive this God too? And one of them did. So see, we learn a better way. But see, now I don't even have to go through the procedure. Now I've come to ABC and I know that I could just speak that word. Many, many years ago, I had a car accident. And I love both to know what God does. And in that car accident, the car was totaled. I was driving a beautifully restored Cadillac. You know, they're heavy, heavy duty cars. And they said, if we were not in that kind of car, I would have died. Because a man who could not see very well, and he was very, very old and very sickly, ran a stop sign. He did not even see it. Ran into the passenger side where I was, Pastor James was driving, and he didn't realize he ran into us and kept his foot on the gas pedal, pushed us to swing around, and he kept driving and going into the wall of a house. As he was going to the wall of that house, he would have crashed into their living room. But, you know, blessings was for those people. They had a for sale sign up, and he ran over the for sale sign, and it stopped his car when he smashed into their living room window. So I was wearing a seatbelt, but I still bashed my knees into the console, and my knees were bleeding and everything, and had a lot of pain. So they took me away in the gurney, and they had to do x-rays and all like this. And then they said I needed surgery because there was shattered bone, you know, in the knee and the patella and all that kind of stuff. And then I was still waiting and pending because of the insurance and all those kind of things. I fell down a flight of stairs, and my good leg, all the ligaments in my left leg were torn as I fell down the stairs. So now both legs were injured, and I had a handicap placard. And they said it would have been better if I broke my ankle bone instead of all the ligaments, because the ligaments take in the natural a year to heal. So here I was, still believing I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and God did heal me, make a long story short. And I did have another knee surgery at that time because I was still growing in my faith. And ligaments in my left ankle healed faster than normal. And so last year, about a year and a half ago, I fell in my home. We were moving, and we had boxes packed up on a desk, and I went to get my healing school notebook to do my homework, and I turned around, and a box fell down in front of me because I guess it wasn't stacked right. And of course, you know, the devil pushed that box down there. And as I turned around, it fell, and I tripped over the box, and I fell flat on my face, on my knees, bashed my head, that was bleeding, and my knees felt like when I was in the accident with shattered patella, shattered bone. And I was in so much pain, and I couldn't move, I couldn't sit up, I couldn't get up, and I was crying with pain. I didn't have my cell phone on me. And I remembered Pastora Sarah taught us, when something happens, you tell the devil, no! And I remembered Pastor Joshua telling us, you have to repent of your sins immediately so that the blessings will not be blocked. So I repented of my sin of impatience or not being careful enough or whatever. I mean, it was hard because I was in so much pain. I used to be on so much pain medication that 3,000 milligrams of pain medication did not help me. So I have the same kind of pain at this point with no medication. It was hard to talk, but I did it. I repented of my sin. I asked God to forgive me. I did everything that I learned in ABC. And then I said, I'm not calling 911. I'm deciding to call 119. 1 John 1:9, I confessed my sins. And I said, I'm receiving my healing package. I'm not receiving this lie of the devil. And then I heard in my mind a thought, look up. And I was scheduled to crash into the glass top on my desk and hit my head and bash it open on the glass. All of a sudden, something pulled me back. So I landed right in front of the glass and didn't hit my head. But when I looked up, when I heard the words in my mind, look up, I saw the telephone landline, and I grabbed the phone cord and I pulled it down to me on the ground. And I called my husband and I said, honey, you have to come home right away and pray for me and get me off the floor. I fell down. And he said, I don't know why God told me to leave work early, but I am 5 minutes from the house. He was scheduled to be home in 3 hours. And he left work early enough to, you know, and it's like when God knew something was happening, he left his office and he was there. He got me off the ground and I said, he goes, do you want first aid? Do you want me to, you know, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to pray for you, anoint you with oil? I said, yes, anoint me with oil. And then I want to do affirmations. I said, all I want is my counter and do affirmations with me. My knees have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My body has been healed by the stripes. He had to go get me some, you know, cleansing because I was bleeding. My whole face was swollen. Blood was coming everywhere. He had to go help get me cleaned up, put me on the couch because I could not walk. It was very painful. The next day was healing school. I said, well, I learned in healing school, I have to have a faith action plan. My faith means that I'm going to school tomorrow. I was a student. I was a minister, but I made myself become a student to learn more about healing. I was a minister doing healing crusades where a man was dying of HIV and God had me go lay hands on him and anoint him with oil and he was healed. But I had to go through surgery because I did not know how to get the full benefits of my salvation package of divine healing till I got to ABC. So that night, the swelling in my knees were like the size of softballs. And I could not move. It was very challenging. James had to help me get to the bathroom. It took like 25 minutes when the bathroom was right there, you know, like just a foot or two away. And so we propped up my knees and we put ice on my knees. And then in the middle of the night, the Lord said, faith action plan. And you put ice on your knees. Does that mean that you didn't believe the word of God could take away your inflammation? I said, okay, James, remove these ice bags, please. Can you take them off of me? I'm going to repent of using ice and not the word of God. In the name of Jesus, I command inflammation to get off of my body, and my knees have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I don't need ice either. I wish I had a video. I kid you not. As soon as I said that and did some other spiritual warfare stuff that we learned in graduate school 5, a minute after I was done, the swelling in the knees left. They were normal, and I jumped out of bed, and I could get myself to the bathroom. And I came to school the next day. That is why we are at ABC. That is why we are learning a higher way is God's way. Amen? Hallelujah. So I hope you're going to be here next week because we are in this series and it's exciting what we're learning so that you could receive it for yourself and for others as well. And if there's anybody on the internet that needs healing, if there's anybody here that still is standing in faith, doing your affirmations and believing for the full affirmations, I want to lead you in a prayer. Okay? So say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent for my sins that I am not aware of since the last time I confessed. According to 1 John 1:9, you said in your word that if I confess my sins, you, God, are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so I thank you, Lord, that I've been cleansed because I've confessed. And I repent, not just for the sins I'm unaware of, but for any doubt and unbelief in the fullness of your word and have not realized that I need to receive my birthright of the whole package of salvation, includes my healing. Salvation is a free gift of God. Salvation means that I have sozo, that you deliver me from every problem and challenge. And I repent for not receiving that. And I repent for not receiving your full protection. I repent for not realizing that you could preserve everything in my life. I repent for not realizing that I could be well in every single aspect of my life. In my health physically, in my health mentally, and emotionally, and in all my relationships that are godly, I repent for not realizing I can do well in every endeavor and be successful and prosperous and be made whole and not die. And things in my life do not have to deteriorate. They don't have to be destroyed or spoiled, and I don't have to be weakened. I receive all my benefits, not just of eternal life and healing, but that I could be used as a minister of reconciliation to go preach the good news of the gospel and give my testimony to others, and use me and my body as the first fruits to show a complete manifestation of the healing I've already received at the cross, so that I overcome by the word of God, by the Lamb, by his blood, and the word of my testimony. That my salvation includes healing. And I'm telling sickness and disease to get out now in the name of Jesus. And I receive my full healing. I receive my full sozo. And I thank you now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.